There's a new team on the rise in the Willamette Valley, and no, it's not the Oregon Ducks. The Willamette Valley Jaguars are your local professional basketball team, competing throughout the Pacific Northwest, representing the Willamette Valley region in the Basketball League, or TBL. The Jaguars are composed of players from across the country who grind every single day to live out their dreams of playing professionally. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, we take you behind the scenes on the latest updates on all things Jaguars and get a firsthand account of what it takes to make it in the Basketball League. This is Jaguars Beyond the Baseline. Welcome into Jags Beyond the Baseline, everybody. I'm Isaac Duby, your host here on a very special episode, a very special Friday morning with Coach Mary Stade. Coach, it's great to have you on. It's the first time this off season. We talked in the middle of last season when you got introduced as the new head coach, and now you are officially the team owner. So your role has changed quite a bit, but I'm glad to have you on. Glad to talk to you about some of the latest happenings with the TBL, with the Jaguars, what's going on, and it's great to have you on.
It's a pleasure to be here always. Honored to be with the best media broadcaster in Oregon. And a pleasure to be back at first and foremost as the Willamette Valley Jaguars head coach, and yes, now as the new TBL team market owner.
I want to start. We talked quite a bit about how you got your start, I believe, as an agent, right?
Correct.
As a sports agent, and you know, worked your way through a lot of different iterations of semi-professional basketball and TBL and USBL. Working your way around in coaching roles, executive roles. I want to know, though, to get to this point, and something I know about you and just spending time around you is you have a massive passion for basketball. I want to know, like, where does that come from? Where does that start to take our viewers into getting to know a little bit more about you as a basketball enthusiast?
So, small town girl. From small town northern Michigan on the border of Wisconsin, which explains my cheesehead heritage. Growing up, going to Lambeau, cousins that both male and female that were outstanding basketball players on the local high school team and went on to college to play. And not much to do in my childhood in terms of extracurricular activities other than sports. So 3 years old, enrolled in gymnastics, and then moved on to track, majorette, cheerleader. I was very small as a youth. And so basketball in terms of playing was not really something that was going to be part of my future, because I was, you know, when you took the school pictures, I was always the one way at the end or in front. So, but still had a passion for both basketball and football. And my father, you know, like taught us all the referee signals and taught us the game of football and taught us basketball, and, you know, was very involved, my sister and I. So, my brother was 10 years older and had already left the house when I was about 8 years old. And so my dad basically, you know, had to teach sports to both of his daughters. My sister didn't really accept it that much, but I did. I thrived on it, loved it, and it just kind of, you know, came with me as I grew up.
Did you play at all, like, unseriously, like, while you were working as an agent or now or at all?
Or
did you just enjoy watching basketball your entire life and that was it?
So I was a cheerleader for the basketball team because of how our gymnastics season worked in high school. So I was always in the gym practicing when the basketball team was practicing, traveled with the basketball team, and I used to listen to the coaches. I was like a sponge. I just absorbed everything. And so I always knew a lot. Like, I could go home, you know, when I was in 10th grade and sit around the table and talk about plays and offense and defense, and or when we were watching basketball on the television as a family, you know, I knew what was going on. So I was a very scholarly athlete.
Who were some of your favorite role models and figures growing up as a as someone you like aspired to be, either in basketball or just professional sports or collegiate athletics? Who are some of your inspirations?
So at first it was definitely Nadia Comaneci. I followed her in the Olympics, and of course her groundbreaking perfect tens and just all of the barriers that she crossed to be the Olympic gymnast that she became, and eventually, you know, the spokesperson and person she is today. So I've always looked up to her. In basketball, Greg Popovich, and I had an opportunity to have dinner with him one night back in, I think it was 2003, and some of the Spurs players at that time, Bruce Bowen, Tony Parker, mm-hmm. Tim Duncan, mm-hmm. At courtesy of Nico Harrison, who at the time was part of the Nike sports branding mm-hmm. here in Beaverton, and went on to be a GM in the NBA. But, you know, that opportunity and just listening to Greg that night was it was so inspiring, because I was at the beginning. I was kind of a couple years into the agency, but at the beginning of owning an ABA team and starting to build that roster. And so he just really inspired me about who I wanted to be as an executive in professional basketball and just who I wanted to be as a person.
You still keep in touch with Greg Popovich or Nico Harrison? No.
Nico Harrison, yes.
Wow.
Greg Popovich. You're laughing.
I'm laughing at the. I'm just thinking of lines I could think of, because you know. Did you ask Nico about what he was thinking on February 1st of this last year?
No, I've not had an opportunity to ask him that. But
it's funny. I am. That was my 21st.
What
birthday
a great question.
That
what were you thinking?
Yeah. It'd be a good question to, if I had Nico's phone number. I mean, he's probably gotten, you know, a lot of texts and obviously gets a lot of pushback and slack from media and from basketball professionals. But, like, yeah.
He's changed his number, Isaac.
Okay.
You know what? Nico is going to land somewhere, and he's going to build another great program. Smart, talented guy. Tons of respect for him.
Let's go into you being the new, what TBL calls team market owner, which is basically just the owner of the team in the Willamette Valley region. Now, which we'll get into of why this changed, the only professional basketball team besides the Trailblazers in Oregon, or only semi-professional basketball team in Oregon. And, you know, Marion Clark was the team owner. We brought him on at the end of the season last year to talk to him about why he wanted to invest in owning a team and what inspired him. And there was a lot that happened with this talk about the USBL, which is the United States Basketball League, that formerly was a league similar to TBL for about 15 years and ended in 2008. Am I right?
2008.
And basically they wanted to restart that league. And it was a collection of a bunch of teams on the West Coast, the Willamette Valley, us as our organization as the Jaguars got grouped in with that. I wanted you to kind of talk about it, because it sounds like it's been circulating throughout the community of, you know, going to the USBL, back to TBL. What happened with the attempted move to the USBL, and how did we eventually land back in TBL?
Very complicated and mm-hmm. challenging mm-hmm. time for Marion and for the Willamette Valley Jaguars. That started in July around Summer League when we were in Vegas. And while we were playing in Summer League, the owners of several West Coast teams were meeting in another hotel and planning to break from the TBL and start their own league. At that time, I don't think the USBL had been mentioned. It just had been mentioned that they, you know, the owners wanted the West Coast to be its own league. And so those discussions continued through the end of July and into August. And Marion was very undecided about what the Willamette Valley Jaguars' position was and all of that, because we have a contract with the TBL and we have a 3-year non-compete with the TBL. And not to divulge the intimate terms of the contract, but unless you perform the terms of that contract to leave the league within a certain timeline and through the proper channels, you have to abide by your contract.
Sure. I just want to clarify that the team's first year was in 2024.
Correct.
So at the end of the 2025 season was the second year of that 3-year agreement. This next season would be the third year of that 3-year agreement. So we were still under that 3-year agreement.
Well, we actually are under that agreement from the day that you break from the league, not the day that your team started.
Interesting.
In the league.
Okay.
And that's a term of the contract.
When we talked about that, I didn't understand that. But
and
that's good
so for... the 3 years would start from, the non-compete would start from where official written notice is given to the league that we will not be participating in this season. And then there's a payment to be made that also allows you to break from the league. So you can break from the league, you can pay your money and not play. But if you've signed a contract that says, I'm not going to play anywhere else for the next 3 years, then you're bound by that contract. And so that's why this was complicated and challenging, because I can't speak for the other team's contracts. There's only one other team's contract that I've been privy to that I could speak to, but I wouldn't for various reasons. But for the Jaguars, I have read the contract that Marion had with the TBL, and we were bound by terms. But then on the other hand, we had all the teams that we play were planning a move to another league. So it puts you in this difficult situation, because your season could end either way, right? Mm-hmm. You either have no teams to play, or you are bound by a 3-year non-compete, and so you're a team without a league. And so it was very complicated, very challenging. And by the time we got to November 4th, this is when things really got challenging. Mm-hmm. The league had, and I don't know when this started, but on November 4th, I became aware that the league had been making mandates on our team, the Willamette Valley Jaguars, that we needed to move 60 miles away from Salem and remove Willamette Valley from our name. Which, for me, that's just a hard no.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We've been actively marketing in the city of Albany, business partners, city officials, our connection to the YMCA. We had built this fabulous youth league under the MBA brand in Independence and Monmouth area. While the USBL teams knew, because it's not a secret, our social media is very evident of the groundwork that we were laying for the 2026 season. And then to make that mandate on our owner, first of all, is expensive. Who was paying for that? All the rebranding.
Sure.
Who was paying for the move? Who was paying for our organization's gas money to drive to Bend and our housing, and, you know, just all those questions, right? And I put pressure on Marion, even just as the head coach, that no, this is not right. We shouldn't do this. And on November 6th at 11 a.m., Marion said, "Do you want to buy the team?" And I said, "Yes. I'm going to cash app you right now." And then I sent him over an agreement. We signed it. And I immediately pulled the Willamette Valley Jaguar name out of the USBL's mouth. Mm-hmm. And my next call was to David Magley, to the TBL. And so within about a four-hour range, mm-hmm. we were back. I'm not going to say back. We were where we belong.
Sure. Let me ask you, when they let you know that the Willamette Valley Jaguars were the ones that needed to move, was there any discussion about, you know, okay, Salem had been there, has been there for a couple of years, the Salem Capitals.
Since 2022.
Right? Since 2022. Did they mention anything that it was because Salem had already been established in that region? Did they give any context of why we needed to move? Was it because, or why we were the ones that needed to move and not Salem? Was there any discussion about that?
That's an interesting question. There actually was discussion that the USBL was implementing a 60-mile radius for teams. And you may remember seeing this post, but because I put a post on social media that identified the Willamette Valley 150-mile corridor that runs from the south of Portland through the north of Eugene, gave everyone a little geography lesson. But also in that same, I believe it was in the same post, discussed that the Vancouver Volcanoes are situated 53.3 miles away from the Salem Armory. So why would we have to move our team 60 miles away from Salem if Vancouver didn't have to move their team 60 miles away from Salem? So, and it was just a question I posed to my followers and to my organization. And at that point, shortly thereafter, it didn't matter because, you know, the Willamette Valley Jaguar organization is an organization of integrity, and we wanted to honor our contract. Sure. And we were supported by other TBL teams that offered help to support our travel this season to make that happen. And so we accepted.
So since November 4th, you have been an owner, head coach, commissioner of the NBA, the Junior NBA and WNBA League. Can you tell me about what it's been like balancing being a head coach, owner, and all the things that you've been doing? Because you've been very busy over the last month and some change.
Very busy. And one thing I do want to clarify is buying the team was about being able to relieve Marion of a burden
sure.
that he was carrying and to take the power and do what was best for the Willamette Valley Jaguars. And no regrets. And yes, life has been extremely busy since November 6th, when we officially exchanged that agreement. But up early in the morning, and if I go to bed, I go to bed very late. There are not enough hours in the day, but I'm not doing this alone.
Sure.
With regard to the Junior NBA, Junior WNBA League, our entire organization is a part of that youth league. and everybody has participated. Tavo Johnson, who is our star forward, has really taken the lead on the Junior NBA, Junior WNBA Youth League. And Caden Leslie, who is our star shooting guard this year, he's right there with him. So Kaylee Jones, who is our general manager, Cindy Murphy, who is our CEO, assistant coaches Jordan Sanders and Kalani Kost, everybody has participated in making sure that that youth league runs smoothly. And so I'm not carrying a really heavy load there because it's well distributed. The tasks are well distributed. And it's the same with our Willamette Valley Jaguars organization. We have such a great, talented, diverse group of people that everybody in their department knows what they're doing. So I don't have to micromanage everything that we're doing to get ready for our 2026 season. There's things I oversee, but I also have Cindy and Kaylee who agreed to join me in a committee to run this basketball team.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. So
can you tell us about a little bit about your strategy of how you're managing being an owner and a head coach for the upcoming season that starts in about 3 months, a little less than 3 months?
You know, and I'm always coaching, always. That never stops, especially when I'm watching basketball, I'm watching film. I'm blessed to have a career where my office is at my house. And so I'm able to manage that throughout the day, along with anything that may come up. But my strategy in November was setting timelines for getting things done preseason. Sure. By January 1st, our operational part in getting ready for the season, having the venue contract signed, having our tryouts scheduled, all, you know, the venue contracts that go with the tryouts handled, all of that type of stuff that I'm in charge of as the TMO, having that all handled by December 31st, having all our media equipment in place, having our test at the venue, you know, those types of things. So by December 31st on New Year's Eve, when the new year rings in, I get to ring in coaching full time. That's the plan.
So I want to go back a little bit because I want to just ask one thing, and I think this will really help fans like understand our character as an organization. What motivated you and to insist that we have a season this year? Because there was, I think, some hesitations on, you know, with the USBL taking us out, with the USBL asking us to do what they want, you know, move and do all this reshuffling and reorganizing, that it was going to be really tough to have a season this year. But what motivated you to persist and insist that we have a season this year, and that we play basketball with this organization?
Well, you know, I've been around this type of pro basketball for a long time, going on 26 years. And I came into the Willamette Valley Jaguar organization just on April 6th. That's not that long ago. But I could see very clearly that this was a special group. And not every team has an organization like this. And it's special from the players to the media staff to the front office. It's a special group, and we have a very young group of people that are in charge of this organization, and so with really big dreams. And after getting to know everyone and having individual conversations, and especially after Summer League, where we really bonded as a group,
sure,
I could not fathom telling any of you that this season was over. Mm-hmm. Especially for the reasons that were being presented to us. It you know, it was, to me, I'm a fixer. In fact, I think we talked about this on my first podcast. It was the reason I was brought in. There was, and it was David Magley who said, Marion, I've got someone who can come in and fix this.
Mm.
And so the president of TVL sent me to the Willamette Valley Jaguars on April 6th. Mm-hmm. And here I am today.
Yeah.
And I had always had a plan while this USBL conversation was being had, because I also had people that I trust and people that were advising me about conversations that were going on in back rooms. So I was very privy to what the teams were talking about and what the organization of the USBL was going to look like. And so I knew I should have a plan. And all I needed was for Marion to give me the power to implement the plan.
Mm-hmm. So looking forward now, with the seismic shift that has happened in TBL, who are some of the teams that the Jaguars will be playing this year now that we're the only TBL team in Oregon? We're going to be going to Vegas for some games, but tell us about some of the teams that we'll be playing in our conference.
We will be playing the Mesa Monsoons in Arizona. We will be playing the Las Vegas Fortune in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be playing, I think this will be our biggest rivalry, the Montana Great Falls Electric.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We will be playing the North Dakota Four Bears Roar. We will also be playing the Grant County Red Tails out of Mattawa, Washington. It's a great conference. We do have to take three flights during the season, which is a little more than most teams like to take.
Sure.
But this is professional basketball. This is, you know, AAU teams fly once a week. So it should not be a surprise, or and it shouldn't be a hindrance for our team to play basketball this season. So where there's a will, there's a way.
Talk about how the roster looks to this point in the off season. I know there's some pieces in place, but there's still a lot to figure out. You guys have a few training camps and events coming up for players to try out, people to get involved. But talk about how the roster looks at this point in the offseason.
So as everyone probably saw on the post from last Saturday, Tavon Johnson and Caden Leslie both signed their contract intents. So they are committed to the 2026 season. And they have been just, you know, pillars in what we've been doing in the off season ever since the season ended at the end of May this year in 2025. So we were really excited about that. We have a couple more announcements coming in the not too distant weeks. That one that will be surprising to some and exciting, but and we've been contacted by a 7-foot gentleman.
Okay.
And a 7'1".
Okay.
So as you know, that was our missing pieces were our post players last
year.
Sure.
Sure.
And so while we were planning our tryouts in the off season, we came up with, let's have a big man camp, because those were the pieces that we needed desperately. And so our big man camp will be on January 10th and 11th. We will be holding it in Portland, because that specific camp is being advertised to agencies to
sure.
send big men. So people flying in, it will be more convenient to hold that camp in Portland. And then the general tryout will be the following week, January 17th and 18th at the YMCA in Albany. But we have some other players that will be coming back. We just haven't made those announcements yet. We have players that have done just from last year that have done just some outstanding, made some outstanding moves in the offseason. LJ Robinson has been playing in China. And we have been talking about LJ about coming back for the 2026 season. Cy Williams, we are talking to him about coming back. Ace Stevens, Josiah Thompson. We also have Jameel Tolbert, who played for the Salem Capitals. We've been talking with him about playing in the 2026 season. So, as everyone knows in this business, you never come back with exactly the same organization. You never come back with exactly the same team because people are moving on.
Yeah.
And that's what we are. We are a pro developmental league. And we wish that for our players. We wish that for the individuals in our organization to keep moving up the professional sports ladder.
Remind me how tall players have to be to participate in the big man camp.
I said 6'8".
Okay.
But, you know.
That's fair. No.
Overseas, if you could have a 6'5 guy that can play, you know, the 4 and the 5.
Sure.
Depending on the system. But I'm more of a traditional post coach.
Yeah.
And I think our team and the system that we're building will lean towards that somewhat. But obviously, the big man today has a three-point shot, has a 7-foot jumper, has a 12-foot jumper, and, you know, and plays a lot around the perimeter.
But also, I think it's important that I think one of the problems last year was when teams had a traditional 7-foot big man, no one on the Jaguars could really match up with them because a lot of our traditional post players were 6'7", maybe. I don't think we had anybody over 6'8 last year, but
I think Tay is almost 6'9 with his shoes on.
Okay.
I think. But also he's a very athletic 6'8". We really didn't have any players that were like built like brick apartment buildings. And so, you know, just depending on the height and weight, right? But typically, to have a decent traditional post player, you're looking at 6'9", 6'10", 6'11". And now, you know, 7-footers aren't as hard to find as they used to be.
What other upcoming events are happening for the Jaguars, whether it be training camps for players to try out or for fans to get involved and show up at events, get involved with the team, find out about certain partners or things we have going on in the community? What's coming up for us?
So we belong to two Chamber of Commerce. We belong to the Independence Monmouth Chamber, and we belong to the Albany Chamber of Commerce. And so we're very involved weekly in those greeters meetings and their events. I just did a women's business event. It was called Women, Wine, and Chocolate. It was an outstanding event. We have the Christmas Storybook Land that happens in the city of Albany every year around this time. It's a huge Christmas display. We will be there this Saturday night, December 13th, from 5:30 to 8. Volunteering. We will also be back there on December 21st from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. volunteering. We also are continuing our community involvement in volunteering over the holidays with organizations that collect toys for kids, collect food, coats, hats, socks, those types of items that families really need. And the Willamette Valley Jaguars have adopted a family, mom and dad, four kids for Christmas, that we will be providing a Christmas dinner and gifts for under the tree for the kids this year. So those are the upcoming events and that we're involved in.
Run me the dates of those.
December 13th.
For
the Christmas Storybook Land and okay. December 21st. Mm-hmm. From today to Christmas Eve, we're working on our adoptive families project. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, December 13th, from 10 a.m. to 11, or from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we will have our final session of our Junior MBA, Junior WNBA inaugural youth league, the 2025, in Independence. And every month on Wednesday is our Independence Monmouth greeters at 8:15 in the morning at a different business. Every Thursday morning from 8:30 to 9:30, we are at a different business with the Albany Chamber of Commerce.
Another thing, looking ahead to this upcoming TBL season, you mentioned how each home game is going to support a different cause. There's a lot of changes that you want to make to our home games at Lynn Benton Community College now, no longer at, you know, Corvallis High School and Crescent Valley High School, moving around a bunch. We now have a home this year at Lynn Benton Community College. Talk about some of the changes that you see that are coming for home games, some of the exciting things that you're introducing for games at Lynn Benton.
Well, playing at Lynn Benton Community College is giving us the opportunity to really stage the gymnasium in a professional basketball setting, all the way from our media crew, our sideline reporter, displaying our sponsorships, partnerships throughout the gym, celebrating our roster, and celebrating our fans, right? Sure. Instead of having themed type nights, we have 10 home games. These are going to be cause-driven nights. So every home game will either honor someone or honor an organization or a cause that is near and dear to, whether it's somebody in our organization, whether it's our fans, our city, our community. We are going to have a uniform that is designed after the city of Albany flag, just to, you know, to honor that this is our city, right? This is our home base.
Sure. Yeah.
So we have some really, really cool things planned during halftime during some of these cause-driven nights. In fact, I'll share the children cancer treatment night in partnership with Akita Clips.
Yeah.
I will be getting my hair cut.
You've talked about, like, I one thing when we talk about this upcoming season, we talk about Lynn Benton, we talk about all the exciting changes coming, new uniforms, the different causes. You've talked about how you really feel like it's going to be a big following and a big opportunity, and there's a good chance that we'll fill the gym for every home game. Tell me what brings that. Why do you have that optimism? Like, what gives you that optimism and that belief that the community is going to back us, that, you know, we are going to be heavily supported throughout the season, and why you see that happening and envision that happening at Lynn Benton?
Faith in God, faith in this organization, faith in myself. I believe I was brought to the Willamette Valley, Albany area for a purpose, because it came out of nowhere. I was just home working, minding my own business one day, and David Magley called me and said, "I need your help. I need you to go to Corvallis." I'm like, "For how long?" He said, "Till the end of the season." I said, "Okay." You know, and I have so much confidence in this organization, and I have confidence in myself, and what we've done between the end of the season and today in terms of our community engagement is proof that everyone is going to come out and support us.
Sure.
On opening night and throughout the season. I was at Chamber on Thursday morning and had a conversation with the president of the Foundation for the Albany Public School District, who was recognizing what we have been doing in the community. And so when you hear that, especially from the school system, when you hear that, you know you're doing the right things. And so I just have confidence and faith that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to, and it's going to be very successful. And we are very purpose-driven in this mm-hmm. organization and not money-driven.
Uh-huh.
Are we realists that we need money to operate this team? Yes. But that is not what we put first when we all start moving forward in these projects. We are all very purpose-driven, and that's one of the things that I love the most about this organization and each individual in it.
Anything you feel like you want to reiterate before wrapping up or want to say to fans or to people in the organization that you that I haven't asked you or you want to touch on?
Visit our website at www.wvjags.com. Mm-hmm. There's information about our schedule. There's information about tickets. There's information about the Junior NBA, WNBA, Youth League. Also in February, we will be hosting Albany Chamber of Commerce greeters on February 19th at Lynn Benton Community College, where we will unveil our arena. Uh-huh. And present the roster and our new dance team to the community. And so even if you're not part of the Albany Chamber, we invite our entire communities to come out. And when I say communities, it's just not the city of Albany. Mm-hmm. It's Independence, Monmouth, it's Dallas, it's Falls City, it's Salem and Kaiser and Jefferson and Sweet Home and Tangent and Lebanon and Brownsville and Corvallis. We are the Willamette Valley Jaguars, and so we recognize all of the communities in the 150-mile corridor from the south of Portland to the north of Eugene, and then some.
If people want to find out a little bit more about you individually, and, I don't know, get in contact with you or just follow up with you, where can they go to find out about you?
They can email me at mstade@wvjags.com, or you can go to my Facebook, which is just my name, Mary Stade, or you can go to my Instagram. I am Coach Mary J. Stade, aka Hoop Girl, I believe. Love my and this is what you'll find out about me. She loves her dogs, she's a cheesehead, and she loves basketball. And she's a coach.
And AKA Hoop Girl is such a trademark. I see that every time, and I'm like, I know it's Mary.
Yep.
I don't even look up Coach Mary Stade. I just look at AKA Hoop Girl. And that's great. That's awesome.
You know what my nickname was when I was a kid?
How did that nickname come about? Yeah.
Well, my nickname when I was a child was Sport Cake, because I was a tomboy, but my mother always used to say, "You're too cute to be a tomboy." And so I got this name, Sport Cake, and I was always out in the street playing football, or I was playing around the world around the basketball hoop, but I could kick a 20-yard field goal when I was in high school.
Nice.
Okay. I always thought I was going to be the first woman to, you know, go in the NFL and be a kicker, but Packers weren't ready for that. Those Republican states of Michigan and Wisconsin weren't ready for that back then. But so Hoop Girl came about. The first time I was called Hoop Girl was back in the IBL in 2006, way before social media and iPhones and camera phones. But somebody called me Hoop Girl, and it kind of just stuck. So.
And then when you started social media, you're like, this needs to be my calling card, my trademark. Yeah.
I think I actually registered Hoop Girl as an assumed business name with the state.
Wow.
I have a logo for it too. The state of Oregon.
Wow.
It might not be up to date because I did that back when I was with the Capitals in 2022.
So you established it with the Capitals, with Salem.
I established it independently while I was an assistant coach with the Salem Capitals.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate you. Always glad to talk. Super exciting to hear about all the great things we got coming up. I know there's going to be a lot more things there are more things in the works upcoming. I'll be updating as the season progresses, as we get closer to the season throughout the off season. And then when the season gets rolling, we'll be coming out with probably weekly episodes, if not bi-weekly, on Jags Beyond the Baseline. But yeah, keep it right here if you want to follow what the Willamette Valley Jaguars are doing throughout this off season leading up to the first game on March 6th. And yeah,
that's when their season starts. Red Tails.
And the first home game will be the next weekend on March 13th against the, is it Yakima? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yakima Sun Kings?
Yakima Sun Kings. And I know Yakima, they stopped, they disbanded as an organization for a couple of years, but before, was it 2022, 2021? I know in the early years of TBL, they won the first few championships of the league.
They also were a CBA team. Long, long time ago.
Interesting. So that will be our first home opponent at Lynn Benton Community College on March 13th. I got that date on my calendar, and I'm counting down the minutes until that comes. So I'm
88
excited.
Days till opening day.
And you're counting down the days. All right. Well, thanks so much, Coach. Thanks for listening, everybody, to Jags Beyond the Baseline. I'm your host, Isaac Doobie, alongside Coach Mary Stade. Coach, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Jaguars Beyond the Baseline. If you want to find out more about the Jaguars, you can go to their website at wvjags.com or follow them on Instagram at wvjags.com.